Joshua chapter 9. I mean Judges, sorry. You know, I do that in my notes too. I'll put Joshua down. Judges. Yeah, my will would be that there'd be not two J's next to each other, because I'm always in my notes type Joshua, and then I'll catch it. Joshua 9, Judges 9, verse 1. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and spoke to them and to the whole clan of the household of his mother's father, saying, "Speak now in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem. Which is better for you, that 70 men, all the sons of Jerubbaal, rule over you, or that one man rule over you? Also remember that I am your bone and your flesh." His mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem. And they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our relative." They gave him 70 pieces of silver from the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows, and they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. All the men of Shechem and all Beth-Millo assembled together, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar, which was in Shechem. When they told Jotham, he went and stood at the top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and called out. Thus he said to them, "Listen to me, O men of Shechem, that God may listen to you." Once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Shall I leave my fatness with which God and men are honored and go to wave over the trees?" Then the trees said to the fig tree, "You come, reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees?" Then the trees said to the vine, "You come, reign over us." But the vine said to them, "Shall I leave my new wine which cheers God and men and go to wave over the trees?" Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, "You come, reign over us." The bramble said to the trees, "If in truth you are anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now therefore, if you have dealt in truth and integrity in making Abimelech king, if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have dealt with him as he deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian. But you have risen against my father's house today and have killed his son, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your relative. If then you have dealt in truth and integrity with Jerubbaal and his house this day, rejoice in Abimelech. Let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume the men of Shechem and Beth-Millo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from Beth-Millo and consume Abimelech." Then Jotham escaped and fled and went to Beer and remained there because of Abimelech, his brother. Now Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, so that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood might be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. The men of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who might pass by them along the road, and it was told Abimelech. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his relatives and crossed over into Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their trust in him. They went out into the field and gathered the grapes of their vineyards and trod them and held a festival, and they went into the house of their god and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal, and is Zebul not his lieutenant? serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve him? Well, therefore, that this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger burned. He sent messengers to Abimelech deceitfully, saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his relatives have come to Shechem. And behold, they are stirring up the city against you. Now therefore, arise by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. In the morning, as soon as the sun is up, you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And behold, when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you shall do to them whatever you can. So Abimelech and all the people who were with him arose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the city gate. And Abimelech and the people who were with him arose from the ambush. When Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebul said to him, you are seeing the shadow of the mountains as if they were men. And Gaal spoke again and said, behold, people are coming down from the highest part of the land, and one company comes by the way of the diviner's oak. Then Zebul said to him, where is your boasting now with which you said, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is this not the people whom you despised? Go out now and fight with them. So Gaal went out before the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate. And Abimelech remained at Arunah, but Zebul drove out Gaal and his relatives so that they could not remain in Shechem. Now it came about the next day that the people went out to the field, and it was told to Abimelech. So he took his people and divided them into three companies and lay in wait in the field. When he looked and saw the people coming out from the city, he arose against them and slew them. Then Abimelech and the company who was with him dashed forward and stood in the entrance of the city gate. The other two companies then dashed against all who were in the field and slew them. Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he captured the city and killed the people who were in it. Then he razed the city and sowed it with salt. When all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the inner chamber of the temple of Elberath. It was told Abimelech that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. So Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him, and Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a branch from the trees and lifted it and laid it on his shoulder. And he said to the people who were with him, what you have seen me do, hurry and do likewise. All the people also cut down each one his branch and followed Abimelech and put them on the inner chamber and set the inner chamber on fire over those inside, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech went to Thebez, and he camped against Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower in the center of the city, and all the men and women with all the leaders of the city fled there and shut themselves in. And they went up on the roof of the tower. So Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and approached the entrance of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, draw your sword and kill me, so that it will not be said of me, a woman slew him. So the young man pierced him through, and he died. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, each departed to his home. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. Let's pray. Lord, we know that this time was a very lawless time, a time in which people did what they wanted, when they followed the dictates of their own heart, when they chose to act in ways that, for the moment, was to advance their own name and their own cause. And Lord, would it be that that was the only time that happened? It happens today all the time. It's a constant in our world. And one, Lord, which we take some comfort in, I think, when we see how you handled it here, that these things in a few years were all settled in some way to bring back vengeance upon those who had it coming. It takes a lot longer often, but Lord, still we see your justice here, and we thank you for it, and we do, Lord, know that you're a God who is just and who does desire that things be set right. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the first things you hear and know early in life is that in this world there are mean people. I mean, some people aren't nice. Some people are not courteous. Some people are in their own little world and they don't pay much attention to you. But some people are mean. I mean, some people are really mean. Not everybody, of course. But some people stand out in their meanness. And there are too many of them in the world. And these people seem to push all the boundaries of decency. The very first impression in my first grade was that there was a mean guy in the class named Calvin. He was a little kid, but of course we all were in the first grade. He was littler, but he went around with a scowl on his face. And the choice was, of course, to either be his enemy or get on his side. And I remember in the first grade, I joined his club pretty fast. And that's really the choice. We had a little mini gang, I guess. I don't remember being mean. But he acted mean. It was like mean was the thing. And so people get mean. Now, mean people are of all kinds. Some mean people are rich, some are poor, some are thugs, some are fighters. Some are mean more in intellectual things. There are all kinds of mean people in all kinds of places. And I would think we would all say we just don't want to deal with mean people anywhere. But mean people have some common characteristics. The first one is that they don't fear God. A mean person does not fear God. Now, I'm not talking about a person who is resolved to do good. That's not mean. A person who's stubborn to do the will of God is not mean. But a mean person doesn't fear God. He does not alter the course of his life based upon the will of God. If God says love one another, he doesn't. Because he doesn't fear God. If the things he does upsets people, it doesn't matter to him. Because he's mean. A lot of people today, you hear them all the time talking things, talking trash, talking all sorts of crazy things, and it hurts people, and they don't care. Because they feel like they have a right to be mean. And they are mean. They love themselves, commonly. And that's a problem in the last days when anybody loves themselves, and you get a bunch of people together who love themselves. You got people all selfish, seeking their own glory. It causes great division and great conflict. You get 10 people in a room that all want to seek their own will and their own glory, and there's going to be a fight. And these who are mean love themselves. They're not tender. They're not kind. They're not compassionate. They're self-centered because they're mean. They don't care what other people think or what other people need or what other people are expecting, except to the degree that they can use other people to promote themselves. They'll gather some people near them, like Abimelech did, pay them to come and join him, but they don't care, only to follow them and promote your own glory. They often believe themselves to be the best determiner of good. Mean people sometimes are mean because they feel like they're smarter than everybody and they don't have any patience with dumber people. And they consider themselves to be the brightest bulb in the drawer. And so they're impatient because they know the best course of action. And the end result of a mean person in the family, if you have a mean father, a mean person in your extended family, on a family get-together, a mean person among the schoolmates, a mean person among the parents of your friends of your kids, is they bring destruction and misery, hardship. They make everything that should be good uncomfortable because they're mean. They don't have to snarl. They don't have to growl. They don't have to do what Calvin did in the first grade and get all like that. But they're just mean. They seek their own. Our Lord Jesus, of course, was the opposite of mean. He sought the welfare of the unworthy. Agape love values love based upon the character of the person who is loving, which is God. He loves unconditionally. To those who do not deserve it, he builds people up who are even his enemies. He gives them things that bring them joy. So a mean person is like the devil, the destroyer, seeking his own way, seeking his own glory, letting the result be that he carves out destruction and misery in their way. Some people who are mean are proud of it. They boast about being mean. They're bad. And being mean gives them a certain amount of respect, which is really not respect, but fear or loathing. And so they get their status by being mean. And if you give them power, mean becomes even worse. Absolute power, we're told, corrupts. Or power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. A person who has power and is mean, selfish, self-centered, is a terror. Because now he's mean and he's got power. Politicians get mean. I bet we could name 25 to 30 in just a little bit of mean politicians. Because politicians get power, and we often see it happen. Once they get power, they change, and they start seeking their own, or they seek what is commonly acceptable to the media or to those up in Washington or the State House or wherever they go. And they become mean. They don't care about people anymore, or if they ever did. And they're easily swayed by others around them who tell them, oh, you know, this is the way you get ahead. And if they're looking to get ahead, they're mean. And they're easily led to conform under pressure. And others around them encourage them. And they are mean. You have to have your head on straight if you have power. It's bad to be mean. It's bad on steroids to be mean with power. The Minnesota Vikings, after one coach retired, we follow Minnesota Vikings lore in our house. One head coach was appointed after one season. He had been an assistant coach with the Vikings for a long time. He was pretty respected. So, and was a younger guy, and he was given the head coaching job. And all the power of the head, he's now the head coach. He was the assistant coach of some branch of the offense or defense. Now he's the head coach. He absolutely failed. He was uppity. He became a terrible person. He tried to mark himself out as a tougher coach than any other coach had ever gone before. He worked those guys out harder than any other coach would. He was a little tyrant. He lasted a grand total of 1 year as a head coach. I don't think he's been a head coach anywhere else since. He went back to being an assistant coach in places. He blew his head coach job because he couldn't handle the power. You have to have your head on straight when you get power, or you become a monster. Pastors are said that they cannot be new converts, because as new converts and they get the power of spiritual leadership in the church, and then they blow it. And many have, and many do. They take over. They lord it over the flock, which Peter says expressly you cannot do as an elder. And it goes to their head, and they're not humble about it, and they're not God-fearing about it. And they put in their own kind of stuff. They get a certain itch for something. I mean, all pastors are that way to a degree. They're to deduce what they think would be best for the church and with the other leaders of the church. They move in that direction. But some pastors, I mean, they got a head on them. And they take over, and it turns out bad. A Christian husband, I've heard it more than once. A Christian husband and his so-called Christian husband, he's his new submissive wife. And, you know, Christian wives are submissive. And women of the world are noted for not being submissive. And, you know, the Bible says, wives, be submissive to your husband, so all that. And then a husband who is not have his head on straight will hear that, and he's suddenly a tyrant. He makes demands. He doesn't love. He commands. He goes on a power trip. Hurts the family, hurts his wife, offends God, who is against that man, that kind of man, because he doesn't have any sense. He's not able to take the power, what there is of it. When you get a government official in power, there's your beast. Remember the beast? The Antichrist? That's mean. That is mean incarnate. He wants his way, the false prophet. The false prophet is to get people to make them worship the beast. That's what we so often have today. Mean people in power. Now, Abimelech was the son of Gideon, and he was the son of a concubine. And then Gideon had 70 sons. We're told in chapter 8 of Judges that Gideon had a lot of wives, which produced a lot of offspring. So there are 70. 69 are killed by Abimelech. Why did he do that? Well, you see what happened there. In chapter 9, the beginning, Abimelech approaches the people of his city, Shechem. He says, okay, you got a choice here. There's 70 sons and there's me. I'm the son of a concubine. You're my relative. Do you want me to rule over, or you want 70 men of Gideon to rule over? So they said, okay, well, you can do it. You know, it's something in it for us. So he bought some men to support him. That, of course, never happens today. You always You never find any politician hiring people to support them. Ha ha. And he has now a mob. He's got a gang. And he, first thing, kills all the sons except the one who hid, all the sons of Gideon on one stone. He betrayed his brothers and killed them all. And the reason he did was so that he alone would have power. That is a mean man. It's not unusual that that happened, by the way. That would not be unusual in that time. That for a person to have no rivals to power, we just wipe them out. That's happened all through history. It happened in England. It happened here in Israel. It happens. We don't want to deal with any sons. We don't want to deal with any offspring. We don't deal with any threats to our rule. We just kill them all. That is no fear of God. That's murder. And it takes that kind of worthless person to do. I think if there was a way that it could be done, the enemies of our president would have killed him a long time ago. They've been trying to at least kill him virtually since he won the election. I saw today, I've seen it before, that Nancy Pelosi prays every day for the president. He's always in her prayers. And I was thinking, well, when he got COVID, her prayers must have been answered, because that's probably more what she would pray against him, not for him. And the enemies are so numerous. And it's always the desire. And we think today is odd, maybe, because of the way it's done. And they're still talking about Russia having some influence in the election in 2016. They can't get off of that. And we might think it's odd, but it's not. Look what happened here. He just went right straight to it. He didn't get CNN and didn't get false research and didn't get people to give false testimony, or to give the FBI to give a false report, or the CIA to give a false report, or someone to make up an accusation. They just went right straight. He went right straight to it and killed them all. It's even worse. That's what Abimelech did. And the son that got away gave a insightful challenge to the people. And the point of this, of course, was that Abimelech had chosen himself as the best leader of the people. They appointed him king. He was the best one. He killed everybody else because he didn't want that to be challenged. As I said, mean people think they're the answer. They're God's answer to good. So they're all killed. Jotham went to Mount Gerizim and gave him a story. Basically, there were three noble plants that were asked to be king over the people. First one were said, verse 8, once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. Olive tree, it's a noble plant. Olive tree said, why should I leave my fatness with which God and men are honored and go to wave over the trees? So went to the fig tree, reign over us. Fig tree, why would I do that? Why would I leave the sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees? Said to the vine, grapes, you reign over us. Shall I leave my new wine, which cheers God and men, and go to wave over the trees? Finally, the trees said to the bramble, "You come reign over us." The bramble's a briar. It's just a junk. It's the kind of thing that gets in your way when you're walking in the woods. It's the kind of thing, if you want to have a nice yard, you clear that out right away. And it's the lowliest. So they asked the bramble, after the other trees, the other bushes, the other plants, turned them down and said, "Will you reign over us?" And he said, "Yeah, buddy, I will, if you're really serious about it." But he called a curse upon them. If not, then may fire come out and consume you. He said, "If you've dealt with my father the way he should have been dealt with," verse 16, "for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian. If you did right with him, if you've risen against my father's house today and killed his sons, if that's right, fine. 70 men, one stone. Made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem. Because he's your relative. If that's a good thing, if you've dealt with in truth and integrity with Jeroboam and his house this day, rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. If you won the election fair and square, rejoice in the candidate. If you cheated to win, may God judge you. If not," verse 20, "let fire come out from Abimelech and consume the men of Shechem and Beth Millo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from Beth Millo and consume Abimelech." Then he ran off, escaped. See what he says? If you've done right, then rejoice in it. You got a good conscience over it, then rejoice in it. It was the right thing to do. But if not, may what you've done be the undoing of all of you. And I read you at length this long chapter. And what we saw was Abimelech taking charge, being king. Then there was unrest within the nation. There was rebellion against him, which he rose up and put down. There was continued fighting with Abimelech. And he kept chasing it down, going where it was, going where the latest rebellion was, raising the city, killing everybody in it to keep the power, because he's a mean man. But they're mean too, because they chose him. They're mean because they put him in power. So what Jotham says was, "Well, may if you did wrong, may Abimelech burn you, and may you burn Abimelech. You burn each other. May fire come from both of you outwardly to the other and burn both of you up." And that is exactly what happened. Abimelech destroyed a lot of his people of Shechem who had supported him. And then he comes up to this last place, and he's going to capture Thebes, and he's going to go against it like he's done to the other ones, and he's going to take that one too. And remember, as a mean person, as a mean leader, he's doing exactly what he thinks he should do. Anybody rises up against him, well, they're wrong. So he's going to put it down. He's not going to put up with it. So he goes to Thebes, and they shut themselves in. And he goes up to the tower to fight against it, verse 52 tells us. And he approached the tower, the entrance of the tower, to burn it with fire like he'd just done with the other place. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. I say, ha ha. He asked his armor bearer to thrust him through with the sword so that it not be said that a woman slew him. Let's all say it together. A woman slew him. He got knocked out by a woman with a millstone. We're not giving him any credit for anything that this armor bearer did. The young man pierced him through and he died. Good riddance. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, each departed to his home. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads. And the curse of Jotham the son of Jerubbaal came upon them. What Jotham decreed and wished to be done was done by God. God brought justice. That is an encouragement to us. It happened very quickly here. 3 years he reigned over all. These people think they're independent of God. These people think they're on their own. They've got their own power. They can do whatever they want to do. And then God destroys them by the people they were leading. And God destroys the people by the one they chose to lead them. And down they go. If you wanted to, you could go on the internet, go to YouTube or anywhere like that, and look up instant karma. And instant karma is people doing something mean and instantly paying for it. They're famous, they're popular because it's so sweet. Like the motorcycle rider who is badgering somebody in a car and thinks the car driver did something improper and pulls up beside the car and kicks the car, which turns the motorcycle over, and he goes spilling off to the side of the road. Instant karma. This is an instant karma. And karma, of course, is an unbiblical term. But the principle here is, oh, that God would repay those who are mean. And I think all of us would say amen to that. Any thoughts on this yourself?